Grace and peace I bring to you from God, our heavenly Creator, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I have a couple of questions. I mean, I always come to you with questions, right? If we were to look at this parable, I wonder who you are in it. Who do you identify with? Are you the vintner, the landowner, the one who's checking on these trees? Are you the gardener, the one who's caring and tending? Or are you the tree? As a joke, I might also ask if perhaps you're the manure. I've noticed a theme in our text this Lent. There seems to be this invitation to look at hunger versus nourishment. And we explore that through the many voices that are available in these stories that have been collected about God and God's people. We hear about bread often, specifically in this reading from Isaiah, this opportunity to recognize that bread in this context is typically pointing to God's abundance. And I wonder what it means in this to recognize that sometimes we don't know what to do with God's abundance. We recognize the hunger that is offered in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, and the invitation to recognize that not one of us is different from another. Not one of us hungers more than another for the Spirit's presence in our place and in our hearts. Not one of us requires more nourishment than another in the presence of God's love and the reminders that come with that sense of nourishment. And then Jesus here invites us to recognize some semblance of understanding of the importance of nourishment. An invitation to see ourselves as this tree, and perhaps, as Barnes would remind us, the biblical commentator from the 1850s, one of my favorite voices, that God is the landowner and we are the tree. And without nourishment, without tending, without care, how are we to bear fruit? And so I wondered, like, what better story could I offer to us to kind of bring this in a balanced way into our 21st century? What could I possibly offer you that might look at the struggle that is to live in these times and recognize that we are invited to love one another in all things, and recognize that sometimes it's really hard to do that, and what it might take? Because not only does nourishment need to be given to those who hold hate, to those whose hearts are hardened, but I think too we need to recognize the importance of nourishing the caregiver. Recognizing that as we each engage our neighbors and our siblings and our communities around us, we too require encouragement, affirmation, love, reminders that we are not alone. And as it happens, as with most of those unspoken prayers, it dawned on me yesterday while I was watching TikTok, where a lot of really good inspiration can come. I happened across a video that was detailing an artisan in Japan working to repair a broken teapot. Now, I'm sure many of you understand what it is about the repairing of those kinds of ceramics in Japan and the importance of holding those objects that have become so ritualized in that daily life around community. We see tea as a representation for community across the world. I think Lutherans kind of have a very similar thing with coffee. And while you may not realize it, that invitation to bring it into this space is part of our ritual together. And so these objects of ritual, these teapots, these teacups, take weeks, months, and years to make in that culture. And they take days and weeks to repair. Because it is more than just a vessel for tea. It is a representation of how important family, generations, and community are in that culture. And so clearly the teapot being repaired in my experience yesterday had been dropped, and the lid had probably flown across the room and shattered against a far wall. It was in many pieces. The teapot itself, only the spout was chipped. And so it offered a rather large, unneeding of repair space in this experience. But that lid, so many pieces, and pieces were missing. And so I watched as this artisan mixed glue and put those pieces together painstakingly, making sure that they all fit, identifying where the missing parts were, and set that glue outside, that glued teapot lid outside for 2 to 3 days to allow that glue to cure properly. Brought it back in after 2 days. Mixed together new clay to fill in those spaces that were missing and pieces that could not be reclaimed or turned to dust as that teapot lid hit the floor and shattered. He applied that new clay and then set it outside for 2 days more to cure. Then that teapot lid came back in, and recognizing that because of the cracks, it was no longer going to be able to work as it was originally designed. And so what needed to be done in an effort to strengthen this lid so that that ritual, that symbolism, that invitation to community could continue with that lid intact to its original partner, the teapot. And so that artisan spent 3 days cutting a piece of very thin brass to strengthen the lip on the bottom of that lid, stretching it and hammering it and cutting it and folding it and hammering it again, and stretching it and cutting it, sanding it, so that it would fit perfectly, giving the lip of that lid an opportunity to maintain some sense of strength and integrity in its new existence. I know that we probably understand that in this culture it is common to repair these cracks with a gold-infused glue and or clay, but that's not quite how it works. There's a special paint that they use that gathers and holds gold dust once it is dry and the gold dust applied, and that's what offers a broken pot or broken piece of this ritual craft the beauty in being brought back together. And so that paint has to be mixed specially in preparation for its application. And it takes, and you may have already guessed this, 2 days outside to dry and cure before that gold dust can be applied. There were some gold wires that needed to be offered on the inside of that lid in an effort to hold some of the cracks that went completely across the lid in an effort to continue the strength that that new brass band was going to offer to that lid in keeping that structural integrity. And those wires were painstakingly applied with one of the smallest drills I have ever seen, with that wire being hammered out, glued in, and applied with such painstaking care. And I don't know if you knew this, but the importance of keeping a pot lid and a teapot together is because they came from the same piece of clay. They were made together in one. And when that original artisan first put that teapot together, he was also the first one to separate that lid from the pot. And so they were designed together, always meant to be together. And I'm wondering, for us, as this tree in this garden who is struggling to bear fruit, what it means to recognize the importance of nurturing one another. The opportunity to hear the good news that Jesus offers, to recognize the importance of reconciliation and repent in partnership with one another, to care for one another in such a way that our rituals carry forward around the community that gathers here, in the love that we offer to one another, in the care of working together to reach out to our neighbors, to our community members, to those who might not think like us, who might not look like us, who might not talk like us, but who need just as much nurturing as we do. Just as much opportunity to loosen the soil around those roots, to apply the proper nourishment, the proper care and patience for that fruit to be born. For us in this space, we talk about the fruits of the Spirit. We talk about the importance of patience, of love, of being slow to anger, of hoping for peace, and speaking words of peace when we need to invite people into reconciling conflict. That, siblings, that is the nurturing, that is the care that the gardener, Christ, is offering to God in this space as He circles us as a tree and holds the axe, holds its stay, so that we are given every opportunity to recognize the good fruit that is capable and available through tending one another. Amen.